In a city as ancient as Rome, it's not unusual to find churches that aren't just places for worship and prayer. Many of the Eternal City's more than 900 churches and chapels, built from the earliest Christian times through to the 20th century, are famous architectural and artistic monuments in themselves, some spanning almost 2,000 years of history. Many of Rome's churches are found in the ancient heart of the city and nearby suburbs, but that seemingly vast number of churches is not enough to meet the needs of residents as the city expands outwards. So, though Rome is the home of the Vatican and the Catholic Church, it's not surprising that there is a pressing need in this, the 21st century, for the construction of new churches in these outlying areas. But as anyone living here in Rome can tell you, major construction projects are frequently bogged down because ancient ruins are often discovered once the digging starts. Now, the Vicariate of Rome and the city's central archaeological body have signed a joint agreement aimed at speeding up the construction of new churches and pledging greater cooperation in the restoration of churches located in areas of archaeological significance. Susie Hodges asked Christian art historian Professor Elizabeth Lev about how easy it is to reconcile this dual role, the spiritual and the historical, of churches in a city like Rome. Professor Lev says this new agreement should make it easier for archaeologists and city and church authorities to cut some of the red tape.
Well, this agreement, this understanding between the Vicariate of Rome and the archaeological superintendent of the city of Rome has precedence going all the way back to the Lateran Pacts, which were revised in 1984. There have been several different agreements made between the bodies, the government bodies that watch over works of art and archives and libraries. And now, finally, in this year, we have the possibility of the archaeological body taking an interest in or dialoguing with the church about taking care of church building, recouping a liturgical or a pastoral function of a church building situated in an archaeological site, and very important to the city of Rome right now, the possibility of making it easier to build new churches in the city of Rome.
Now, you talked about churches that are located in an archaeological site. Can you give us some examples there?
Well, Rome having been the capital of the empire, basically everything is an archaeological site here. Several churches were intentionally situated into ancient Roman sites. So one of the most famous examples that visitors to Rome would know would be the Church of St. Clement, or San Clemente, as we know it around here, which is a remarkable three-level building. But the lowest level is a domestic home from the first century AD, and in it was actually a pagan shrine, and then directly above it you have a church built in the fourth century, and then on the top floor you have a functioning church that still celebrates Mass today and is run by the Irish Dominicans. So you run into a funny little problem with when work has to be done on these lower levels. Do you close the church? How can the state work to maintain this important archaeological patrimony, but at the same time not interfere with the liturgical and the pastoral needs of the church?
And how they managed this in the past? Was it just been a juggling act, an ad hoc one?
Well, in many occasions there have just been eternal church closings. I mean, everybody knows there's a very famous gag in Rome called the Church of Santa Maria Sempre Chiusa, which is the Italian for Saint Mary always closed. And there are some churches which are eternally closed for restoration. You can't go see them. Lord, you'll never get to go see a liturgical function, or you'll never go to Mass there. And so this slow time and this lack of ability to get things done quickly is something that this agreement is really setting out aggressively to fix.
So it's trying to speed things up. But, of course, one of the reasons why things grind to a halt is because every time you start to dig or to build something new in Rome, you stumble across ancient ruins, don't you?
Yes, exactly. And this is a very important facet of this new agreement, because Rome has developed exponentially over the past few decades. And there are pockets of the city which have been developed in the 70s, 80s, 90s, and they don't have parishes. And the Diocese of Rome is concerned about that. But every time they go to build a parish in an area like Via Appia, the ancient queen of roads of Rome, or they want to build in the Tiburtina, the road that led to Tivoli, the minute you lay foundations, the minute you try to rezone something, you bump into some ancient monument. And then the archaeological body of the city has to be involved. Things slow down and churches don't get built. And the needs of the faithful are not tended to.
The church has long been keen to build new churches, but how many, in fact, have managed to be built, you know, have overcome these obstacles, shall we say, in the last decade or so?
John Paul II noted the lack of parishes in Rome and declared a goal at the beginning of his pontificate of 50 new parishes in Rome, of which about 10 have been built. There are very, very few constructed. Some are very famous. I mean, the very famous Jubilee Church, the Millennium Church by Richard Meyer, a really spectacular monument. Some other smaller churches, simpler churches, but really the project is still limping along, and in many cases because of these delays due to a lack of understanding between the diocese and the archaeological body. So hopefully this agreement will help to move these constructions along.
So how many new churches are in the pipeline at the moment? Do we have any idea at all?
Well, there are many plans going on. I mean, there are the areas that the new churches need to be situated in, the new territories have all been delineated. There are competitions and projects for Italian architects, European architects. So there are, even as we speak, another 10, 15 already in the pipeline. But there are always financial difficulties. There are, and in this case, there are also difficulties simply with dealing with a space as old and with such a rich archaeological history as Rome.
Now, going back to, shall we say, the more historical side of the city, are there likely to be any sort of famous historical monuments, come churches, that are likely to be on the list for restoration projects as a result of this agreement?
Well, there are a great many churches in the area of the Aventine, and particularly in the Forum itself. It's something that many visitors to Rome don't really realize, is that the Forum was filled with churches at a certain point from the 6th century on, and a church that is perpetually under construction and is very a good restoration project moving right along is the Santa Maria Antiqua Church. The ancient church to St. Mary contains these frescoes, one of the very few examples of 8th century, 7th century frescoes. And so these are churches that, although we don't know if they can ever go back to having a liturgical function again, however, they are in the midst of being recouped.
And when it comes to the finances, who is paying for this? How are the costs split, if they are being split?
Well, in the earlier, this agreement is based on earlier agreements made between the body for the conservation of artistic patrimony of Italy. And in general, the Italian state has provided most of the funding for the reconstruction or the maintenance or whatever necessary work has to be done in order to allow access to an archive or a work of art. One imagines that with this new agreement, the same principle will hold. It is the city of Rome, it is the Diocese of Rome that will have to provide the funding for the building of those 50 new churches. However, when it comes to restoring a church, when the archaeological body is interested in conserving or protecting or taking care of a pre-existing church, it is generally the superintendent's office who takes care of the payment of that.
Building a new church must be quite a costly operation, though. I mean, where's the diocese going to find the funds for this?
The building of new churches is a very costly enterprise, and some of the churches have been made really quite simply. They were prefabricated. There is a one of these 50 new churches is a prefabricated structure, which clearly is not going to last quite the same way St. Peter's will. The other church, the one built by Richard Meyer, is a very beautiful, very powerful construction with the absolute latest in technologies. The diocese used to arrange a series of concerts every Christmas as a kind of funding and an awareness project to keep this plan going, to keep the funding in. And now, with the suppressing of these Christmas concerts, they're going to have to find other ways to bring this to people's attention to help the city.
And a very warm thanks there to Professor Elizabeth Lev, a Christian art and architecture historian with Duquesne University here in Rome. She was speaking to Susie Hodges.